Hello and welcome to Zack Attack. We're never going to be better than this. This is episode 27, bonus episode.
Bonus episode.
I don't even know if we're doing bonus episodes anymore. Now that we're doing, I guess this is a bonus episode because like our schedule has become two per month. So it almost feels like the 15th of the month, the second one we release is not a bonus episode, but this is the third in August. Baywatch.
Have we ever done three in 1 month before?
We did three High School Musicals.
Oh, yeah, that's right, that's right. But, like, they didn't feel as close as... we recorded them kind of more spread out, I think, right?
We also did three... I was thinking about this. Back last September, we did whatever the September movie was, but then also Neighbors 2 and Mike and Dave both came out on Blu-ray that month.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We did
two bonus episodes, right. Like the 20th and the 27th or something.
I remember now, yeah.
So this is the day... If you're listening to this, the day it comes out, it is August 29th. Baywatch on DVD and Blu-ray today. It was on VOD 2 weeks ago, which is when we watched it. We did not watch the extended edition.
I wish we did.
There's 5 minutes of extra footage. I don't know what it is.
Did you watch the extended edition?
No.
I didn't know if you were like talking we as in me or...
No, we as in the both of us didn't watch it.
Us, yeah.
Us, the collective us. The collective we. We are in this together and we are never going to
be better than this. No, we're never going to be better than this.
This is a movie that I saw in theaters earlier this year that I saw again last night for this. I don't remember if I gave a micro review when I saw it, but the review then was that I did not like it. And the review this time is that I still didn't really like it, but I liked it more.
Okay, good.
And I figured that you were going to like it.
I love it, dude.
Man, it's difficult. Like, my biggest problem with this movie is everything that's to do with the investigation.
Dude, I think the investigation's stupid. That's not the part, like, that's meaningless to me when I watch the movie.
But that's so much of the movie. Like, when it comes on screen, it grinds to a halt. Like, I understand that that's what the show was about, and that's what this movie wants to be. It wants to be sort of like a two-hour version of an episode where you have beautiful people.
It's kind of an homage, not even like a version of it. Investigation is just like driving the story, I guess, but it's really just beautiful people and tits and stuff.
Well, what's weird about this is that it's not a reboot so here's what's weird. The Rock and
Hoff.
Kelly Rohrbach.
Oh.
No. The Rock and Kelly Rohrbach.
Which one is she?
The blonde, the hot blonde.
The blonde one, okay.
They are both named, their names Mitch and CJ, which were David Hasselhoff and Pamela Anderson's
names, yeah.
Character names on the show.
Yes.
But they're both in this movie as that too. So like it exists in the same universe. There's just two guys named Mitch, which is super weird.
The thing that really annoyed me just like from the jump about this movie is like, okay, the Hoff and Pamela Anderson are going to be in it. And there's like the big Pam reveal at the end, right? But in the opening credits, they say that she's in it. And that was so frustrating to me. It totally ruined the surprise.
The only thing I can think about is that was like contractual. Like, I'm only going to be in this if my name's in the opening credits. You know what I mean? Like,
they didn't even need opening credits. They just needed to not do them. So stupid.
Well, I know, but that's a whole Hollywood thing. It's just it's an ego thing, and that's like that actors negotiate for those rights.
But you ruined the surprise of the movie.
I completely agree. What I do want to say about the opening credits is that it might have the best title card I've ever seen, where The Rock goes and saves a person and is walking on the beach. This huge like font Baywatch drops into the ocean, and then dolphins like flip out like in unison and sort of like in the background, like it's the most majestic,
yeah, it was
wonderful
cool.
Opening
it was pretty cool. I liked it too.
My biggest problem with this movie is that The Rock and Zac Efron, we know from other things, are talented comedic actors, and here for the most part I feel like it's kind of like Veep in that everyone is kind of mean to each other, or at least mean to Zeph, and it takes a while to sort of get the rhythm down. Like, they're just so quick to just be cruel to him, and I kind of wish that, like, it was sort of happier and more go-lucky. And I don't think that a lot of the comedy in here works. I think that there is a lot of really funny stuff, and a lot of really funny character moments, and a lot that I really like just because I like the actors involved. But I think that for the most part, it's rough.
I wish that there was better comedy writing in this, because it does feel like it's a lot of The Rock just making shots at Zeff, like little one-liners. But that's one of my favorite parts about the Zeff movies that we've watched, is I like him getting shit on because he takes it really well. So, like, him calling him, like, you know, NSYNC or, like, Jonas Brother.
I wrote down as many of them as I could. As many as I heard, I wrote them all down.
Yeah, Rachel, when we were watching the movie, Rachel and I watched it last night, and when we were watching it, she was like, oh, God, I wish I just had, like, a list of these. And I was like, trust me, I'm sure Joey and I both have, like, a complete list of all the times he calls
apparently,
something stupid.
On IMDb, according to IMDb, Zac Efron gave The Rock that list of names to call him.
Oh, really?
But, like, a lot of it is just, like, boy bands. So he calls him in the beginning, the first scene he sees him, he calls him One Direction, New Kids on the Block, and NSYNC. And just like, well, those are, like, it's...
Those are pretty tame, yeah.
Creative, yeah.
Yeah.
Later in the movie, he calls him Gold Medal, because... So here's the thing.
I told you my theory last night when we were talking.
Well, yeah, so why don't you say your theory, because I have something to add on to that. So what did you hear, what did you say to me about
as I was watching this, I see Zeff come out, he has, like, this, like, kind of, like, Frosted Tips thing going on here, a little bit of blonde
douchey
in his
looking
hair.
Haircut.
Douchey-looking haircut. And I was like, okay, cool, whatever. And then when they get to the part where they show you that he was, like, a washed-up party boy swimmer with two gold medals, I was like, he's Ryan Lochte, is exactly who he is in this movie to me. He's just like, Ryan Lochte joins Baywatch, played by Zeff.
According to Zac Efron,
okay,
who talked to Jimmy Kimmel, I think, he and, like, people thought that Matt Brody was rumored to be based on Ryan Lochte, but Zeff told Jimmy Kimmel that he and the writer came up with the character entirely on their own, which feels to me like they got really high together and were like, yo, wouldn't it be funny if we came up with this guy who's like Ryan Lochte, and then they wrote down, like, character descriptions and then sobered up and were like, oh, look at this character that we created. Like, that's pretty cool.
Yes. Yeah. It that was a cover to not piss Ryan Lochte off, but it's definitely Ryan Lochte. Like, that's exactly who this is.
Exactly. Like, it's somebody in need of an image makeover. Right?
Yeah.
Although I guess, like, even Michael Phelps, like, he was caught smoking weed or whatever, and that was the whole thing. So I guess swimmers just need image makeovers sort of a lot, unless you go out and you win more medals than anybody else in Olympic history, then you're
then
sort
nobody
of,
cares,
know,
yeah.
Set for life. Exactly.
I mean, Michael Phelps got in trouble for, like, smoking weed once and, like, having a picture with a bong or whatever, but, like, Ryan Lochte was, like, a fuck up like Zeff is, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like,
mm-hmm.
And the hair. The hair is what did it. You know what I mean? Like, the frosted hair, that's, like, the ticket that's, like, you are being Ryan Lochte right now.
So the other really weird thing that I just don't understand about this movie is that you cast Alexandra Daddario, who is this beautiful
woman. Which one
is
she?
Also, she is the one that Zeff's in love with, the brunette.
Okay.
She was in another movie with The Rock. She was in San Andreas, where he played her dad. So it's weird to see them here sort of just like friends.
Yeah.
Which feels sort of more normal. Anyway, I cannot get over the fact that you cast her in a movie and then don't make her the main sex symbol.
Dude,
like,
but, I mean, seriously, look at this blonde chick, dude. She's fire.
Well, I know.
Fire.
So Kelly Rohrbach is a Sports Illustrated swimsuit model.
Is she? Okay.
Yes. She's beautiful.
Gorgeous.
She is in the movie. Like, she is the sex object, the sex symbol, the everything in this movie. Alexandra Daddario, like, I feel like she's trying to get away from that, because, like, the whole movie, for the most part, she's, like, covered up in that, like...
Yeah, she's overly covered, right?
Yes. Which is weird, because, like, I just don't understand a world in which Zeff is enamored with her when Kelly Rohrbach, when CJ
exactly!
is running around.
I definitely agree. I wanted them to be together. I don't know why the blonde and Zeff aren't together at all.
Well, because there's, like, this whole shared history between the blonde and that dumpy guy who's all heart, who gets onto the team just because he's got no quit in him, even though he's not the most physically gifted. Like,
yeah.
That's a whole
oh,
other
and his
thing.
Huge dick.
And his huge dick. Also, related to him, because we're not going to talk about him too much, his friend in this movie, Hannibal Buress, back from the Neighbors movies. He was the
That's
cop in
right.
Neighbors. And he's here as a computer hacker. And, spoiler alert, bad guy.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. I totally forgot that Hannibal... I mean, like, I've seen Hannibal in, like, a lot of stuff, but I totally forgot that he was in Neighbors. Yeah. Were you... I was very proud of them for picking a blonde lead that didn't have fake boobs, by the way.
And she's not dumb. Like, she's just kind of the perfect woman
in
general sense. Like, she's,
yeah.
She's, like, great at her job. She's beautiful. She's smart. She's funny. She's considerate.
She likes the frumpy guy. It's, like, it's perfect.
Yep.
It's, like, beyond perfect.
I don't know what the writer looks like, but it's almost like it was him saying, like, oh, you know, this guy can get this girl. Like, I can get her too. Like, she's, but the, and there's no jokes made at her expense. Like, she's
the
nicest, most perfect, kind, everything. It's just, she's a 10 out of 10 across the board. Whereas everybody else, like,
has flaws.
Zeph is obviously a mess. Yes, exactly. People are sort of mean or whatever. Oh, well, I guess she does have, was it her or was it the other one who, when they're doing the introductions, I think it was her. When they're doing the introductions to, like, this is the, you know, the audition process or whatever, the tryouts, and then she gives, like, this really detailed, specific, like, backstory. Like, she's got, like, a dark backstory or something that, like, is mentioned in that one scene.
I don't remember
what it was, but it was just, like, it was a very specific, like, don't do this or else, like, blah, 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 blah. And it was just like, oh, like, that's something that happened to her. But other than that, like, she's just this flawless human being.
I missed that because I was distracted by her a lot on screen. So that's...
I know. She's very, very pretty.
She's very,
and
very
also
pretty.
All the more pretty when you look at Pamela Anderson at the end. Like, I don't want to be mean, but, like, she's just had so much plastic surgery.
She's, yeah.
She comes on it just, like...
She's looking a little washed, for sure.
It's rough. Hoff looks pretty good. I mean, he comes in... His reveal is so much better when he just shows up at the Sprint store. Like, hey, man, why are you wearing shoes? Like, get back out there.
I was hoping that he was going to be, like, his spirit animal. Like, not really, like, an actual person. I wanted him to be, like, his, like... alter ego, or, like, you know what I mean, like, guide or something, you know?
I would love that. I would absolutely love that. I do think that, like, because in the post-credit scene, they have them, he and The Rock are sitting on a beach drinking beers,
yes,
or whatever, and, like, he's going to be in the sequel. And I do think that if there is a sequel and everybody comes back, that the Zeph storyline, that I will like it more for his parts, because this whole movie is about everybody doubting him and then him just sort of being a fuck-up and then finally sort of saving the day at the end.
Yeah.
And it's, I understand that, like, it's the most of a character arc that anybody has in this movie. The reason I like Zac movies, the reason I like Zac Efron's movies is because for the most part, he's just, like, this guy that you want to be, kind of. You know what I mean? Like, even, like, Teddy, who has, like, these, from Neighbors, who has, like, these low moments, he still feels composed and he's not, like, a douchebag. You
don't
want to
be.
Just...
I mean, like, here he seems like he's a douche, but, like, as it starts to unfold and you realize that he was, like, an orphan, spoiler alert.
Which is something we've been wanting for several, naked and shirtless.
I was so, my notes say he's finally a fucking foster kid.
And he also sleeps, he's about to sleep under a bridge, under the boardwalk.
Yes.
Which I feel is probably another one of our, probably another one of your naked and shirtless guesses.
Yes.
You know, orphan kid sleeping alone outside on the ground, like, this checks off so many weird Joe Zac Efron boxes. It's amazing.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, this movie was a lot of what I wanted. You see that he's a douche, but in this sense I can kind of, like, relate to it. I don't mind him being a douche considering all the factors, as, like, he's a gold medal winner, he was a foster kid, he did everything on his own, he's kind of like a maverick, you know what I mean? So it's not terrible.
I'm just looking forward to the second one.
Yes, same. I am, though, too.
People can still give him shit and call him names and whatever, but it can be just sort of like he's just one of the gang, and there's, like, they can just have fun with it.
Yeah, they're still, like, hazing him and stuff. Yeah.
Like, I'm not watching Zac Efron's movies to, like, see, like, character development. Like, I just want to have fun and have a good time. You
same.
Know what I mean? Like,
yeah, yeah.
And I do wonder, and we're going to get into a little bit later after we talk more about the movie. When I watched this movie, I sort of came up with this, like, grand unifying theory of Zac Efron and how I think maybe, even though it's not true at all, maybe this movie is kind of reflective of his career. And I wrote this whole long essay on Letterboxd. So we're going to get into it down
cool.
the road.
Cool. Yeah, I'm
and
down
I,
here.
I do want, you know, we've talked about before, I want to see him in more mature roles, more adult roles. I love him as the party boy. I like him in, you know, I love him in Neighbors. I love him in Mike and Dave. I love in those movies, but, like, here, I don't want to see the reformed party boy. I want to see either the guy who's, like, fun until the very end and then has, like, a startling realization. I don't want to see somebody who, like, struggles through the movie. Like, if I want that, I'll go see another, like, a movie that's not Baywatch, that's not popcorn entertainment. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I get it. They didn't give us enough of him being a fuck-up for it to be fun. They didn't give me enough of him being a hero for me to like him. So, yeah, I get what you're saying.
I do like that there's, like, this established world that The Rock is sort of the kingpin of, that he is this legend on the beach. He's got 500 saves, which apparently is something that they keep track of, that people say that he invented Google, that he cured the common cold.
Yeah.
And even in the film's first 5 or 10 minutes, he blocks Kyrie Irving, Cavs superstar Kyrie Irving, on a layup attempt while they're just playing, like, you know, beach basketball. So
yeah.
I just love that this... he's just like this mythic figure. And at the very, very, very end, when there's like the whole fireworks display, and he's like, "I'm oceanic, motherfucker." I was like, "Yes, like
exactly."
He is,
yep.
The Rock is exactly what I want in this movie.
Same.
If Zeff sort of had the kind of, not in The Rock's role, but like that same kind of like consistent confidence throughout, and sort of this admiration paid to him, like, I would love this. It just, as a Zac Efron movie, I was like, I want more.
But you needed Zeff to drive the story in this, because The Rock is clearly like the lead actor, you know what I mean?
Yep.
So you have the blonde chick who's the hot one, you have the other one that you like that Zeff loves, and then you have The Rock who's like The Rock, you know what I mean? That's exactly who he's gonna be. He wants to be Zeus, and or what's not Zeus? Who's the god of the sea?
Poseidon.
Poseidon? Yeah, he wants to be like Poseidon, you know, have his trident and shit. Like, that's just what I imagine him as.
Another thing that changed in my life since the last time I saw this movie is that I saw all of Summerland. So I like that this is kind of a triumphant return to the beach, to the beach
culture.
We've
seen many, many Beach Zeff movies, and I have a lot of notes about like recurring Zeff themes throughout this movie. Can I go through them?
Yeah, I do want to say that, like, one thing that is also really weird is that when we did Cage Club, the first time we ever seen Nicolas Cage, and throughout a lot of his career, he's also really tied to the beach, too. So I like that, you know, we have Cage and Zac Efron both at home on the beach. The only difference here is that between Summerland and this movie, Zac Efron got a little bit bigger and a little bit more muscular.
Just a tiny bit.
Just a little bit. He is, like, I can't see his body type, because we've talked about his body a lot on the show.
Yeah, we have, yeah.
Because he doesn't have a huge frame. I can't see his frame getting any bigger than this. Like, he's gigantic.
He's enormous in this movie. I'm actually at that scene, like, the scene right now when he's, like, doing the first part
of the obstacle course.
The first part of the obstacle course.
Yeah.
And he is fucking ripped. Incredibly huge, like, scary, yeah.
Well, what I do love about this world, and I do love about sort of his body, I guess, in this world, is that when they capture, or he's watching, when he's under the boardwalk, and he's watching that YouTube video of him as the vomit comet puking in the pool,
yeah.
He scrolls through the comments, and one of the comments is, "How does this D-bag have so many abs?" And it's just like, yeah, like, exactly.
My favorite one during that was, his hair gel is 100% semen-based. I don't know if you saw that one or not.
I didn't.
That was my favorite one. Yeah, wonderful. I was trying to read them because they were amazing, and the 100% semen-based one was my favorite.
So what are your other Zeff? Does Zeff cry in this movie, or no?
No, he does in almost tears. Rachel and I started talking about it. I was like, look, we're getting an almost cry, and she was like, when he throws the medal, he does an almost cry, and he does an almost cry maybe like two or three times in this movie.
Yep.
I don't think he gets real tears. I don't. There's some rain during this competition, by the way. So he's shirtless and wet and raining, which is something that I've been asking for a long time.
When the shirtless meter is so far off the charts, I think it's okay to sort of have a pass on me crying, because, like,
but he got close. We got an effort, man.
He was close. So what else did you see that sort of links this to other Zeff movies?
Oh, okay. I'm gonna go through them. I'm gonna see if you caught some of these. He's from Iowa again.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he's from Iowa again.
That was At Any Price, right?
Yeah, the one with the cars, I think,
yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, At Any Price.
With my girl, Micah Monroe, yes.
At the beach again, he's a swimmer again, which he's been a swimmer in Parkland, right? Where, not Parkland, maybe the other one.
The Paperboy.
The Paperboy, he was a...
Also related to the Paperboy, there is a jellyfish in this that it's
yes!
stuck in, except Nicole Kidman does not pee on him in this movie.
No, she does not.
Which is why this movie is worse than the Paperboy, because that one scene is maybe the greatest scene that's ever been in any movie ever.
Yes. Those were the couple that I caught. I might have some more scattered through my notes that I just can't find right now. Definitely Iowa and Swimmer and Beach, which we talked about. Like, yeah, there was a couple recurring. Oh, a motorcycle again. He rode a motorcycle in New Year's Eve.
Oh, yeah.
There was a lot of consistencies that I saw. And the whole soundtrack to this, which was awesome, by the way. I think this is one of the best soundtracks in a Zeff movie we've gotten.
Every time a new song came on, I was just like, oh, Joe's probably loving this right now. But the only other movie that I can think is this, like, prevalent, like, and just not music that has anything to do with what's going on, just, like, music just, like, keep you pumped up. Like, it just reminds me of Tokyo Drift. It's just, like, all just, like, big songs that are just keeping you energized throughout the entire movie.
Yeah, so in this, we get, like, a lot of electronic music, which, and then that's like a throwback to Waif for me. Like, it was like
all
Chemical Brothers, there's some Diplo in there. there was like a whole bunch of cool shit, and I was like, damn, this is a really cool soundtrack. I actually want to go look up the soundtrack or like what was on here.
I do like really early on, we don't get any descriptions of him as in like what his body looks like,
yeah.
But The Rock does say his hands were soft and supple like a woman, which is funny, but it's also like, why didn't Zefron Lover 19 have a description like that for his hands in Sharpay's Fabulous Adventure 2? Like, that's the kind of, you know, erotic fan fiction that I want to have in that.
I want thumb rubbing from supple hands.
Oh, yes. Soft, supple hands.
Yeah.
Zef does describe himself as 80% trill and 20% dope.
30% dope. You messed it up. It was 80% trill, 30% dope.
I started typing the note as he was saying it, and I shouldn't have assumed proper math from Matt Bruce.
You should absolutely not have. He's 110% trill and dope. That's what he is.
He's also just really, really dumb.
I don't mind Zef being dumb in Zef movies, though. He plays dumb pretty well, and he doesn't ever come off as, like, really stupid. He comes off as playing dumb, which is all right by me, so it's not terrible.
Are you dyslexic? I'm Caucasian. It's just like, oh, okay. Like, it's fine.
Yeah.
He's the American hero with the face of a Swedish model. What I do like is that, unlike a lot of other movies where he is this Greek god that we keep talking about how perfect of a human specimen he is, people in this movie at least admire that he's gorgeous. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like they're turning a blind eye to him. They're like, oh my god, he's just a dumb douchebag.
Yes. They acknowledge that he's good looking, because we watch a lot of Zef movies where they just like totally pretend like he's not good looking at all, which is pretty funny.
I'm just going through my notes. At one point in this movie, he drinks Mike's Hard Lemonade out of a can, which I did not know was a thing that existed.
Yeah, Mike's Hard Lemonade out of a can, yeah.
It also feels like the most Zef drink ever.
Really?
It feels like, at least in terms of this kind of character.
I wish it was Four Locos. I can see him drinking Four Locos here.
Yeah, I can see that too, but I don't know, it just feels like, oh yeah, like of course he would drink this like sort of party bro douchebag alcohol that nobody over 21 has ever drank.
Yeah, I can see that. That makes sense. Yeah. I get it. I wish it was Four Locos, but yeah.
Oh, The Rock does call him High School Musical, which is a little on the nose, but also pretty cool.
I know, he calls him High School Musical, and it was, like, so weird, because, like I said, I was, like, looking for all the connections, and the High School Musical one was really funny to me, because it, like, acknowledged that he was Zef. Now that, I don't know, man, I don't think these are as funny now that you told me that Zef wrote them. Like, they would be much funnier if The Rock was improvising them, I think they would have been much funnier. Now that I know that Zef wrote them, it's like, it's kind of lame, you know?
Well, what's also weird is that it doesn't feel like there's a lot of improv in this at all.
No.
Like, when we get to the closing credits, we have one of those return to recent Zef movies, bloopers and outtakes and, you know, sort of insults back and forth. And it feels like, based on that, the only person who was really improvising was Rob Hubel,
yes.
Who is the guy who fires The Rock. And
he's been in a lot of movies. I had a feeling when he came onto the screen, like, actually in the beginning, I thought the guy that died in the very, very first scene was him, and I was like, oh, that dude's in it. And then when he was the cop, like when he turns around and he's the cop, like, I was like, this makes so much sense. Like, I was expecting him to be in this movie. It just seemed like a movie made for him.
He's also very obviously the bad guy, or a bad guy from the very beginning, I think. From the very beginning, even the first time I saw this, I was like, oh, he's in on it. Yeah, absolutely.
No, I didn't get that.
Because I've seen him in so many things, and I sort of know when he's playing, because it's not like he's trying to really hide the fact. Like, it doesn't really matter if you know the twist or whatever.
Yeah.
But, like, I can see him when he's trying to, like, just be, like, silly and goofy, and when he's trying to be, like, serious and kind of hiding something, it's just a little bit different.
So his shitty acting kind of gave it away?
A little bit. I do wish he was in it more, that he was able to sort of make fun of the people anymore, because, like...
Yes.
The problem I think that I have with, like, The Rock and the black girl, I don't know her name, because I don't know anybody's name except for CJ and Mitch and Brody.
Yeah, I don't know any of their names.
Is, I feel like as a family, which they basically become after the tryouts, they should sort of be kind with one another and sort of, it's them against the world.
Yes.
And I kind of wish we had other people from the outside, like Rob Hubel, like the beach cop, just sort of around more to, like, make fun of them and have them collectively defend themselves. I don't want to see infighting. Like, I don't want to see, like, in a Fast and Furious movie, I don't want to see, like, The Rock and Vin Diesel. I mean, I guess that's a little bit different, but I don't want to see, like, you know, Vin Diesel and Brian O'Connor, like, and Paul Walker making fun of each other, because, like, they're in it together. They've been in it together.
Yeah, they're a team.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, you're right. I think that once, like, Zef is kind of, like, on the team, that The Rock making fun of him shouldn't have been It should have been other people making fun of him. You're right.
Last episode, we talked about some, I don't remember if you called it great foreshadowing or terrible foreshadowing. I think terrible foreshadowing on Sharpay's Fabulous Adventure 2.
Beautifully terrible foreshadowing.
Beautifully terrible foreshadowing. In this movie, we have the guy in the shower. What is his name? I'm going to look that up. Do you know the character's name?
No, the nerdy one. We're just the nerdy one. Can we just call him the nerdy one?
So the nerdy one is singing Katy Perry's Roar.
Yeah.
Naked in the co-ed shower when he's supposed to be wearing a bathing suit or whatever. And, yeah. You know, he showed, like, he's also irrationally confident. But hey, I mean, that's cool. That's how he gets CJ. That's
dude, if you have a fucking 12-inch banger, that's what's gonna... I would be irrationally confident, too.
But what I thought could have been cool foreshadowing is if he was singing Firework in the shower. And then at the end of the movie, there were fireworks. I didn't think about that till this time when I was just like, okay, because Roar, like, I wrote that down.
Makes
and then
sense.
At the end, the big climactic scene is the fireworks. And then, like, maybe they could have, I don't know if it would have worked, but they could have cut back to him, like, singing or something or put that song over and sort of had that, like, as a motif throughout. Because I do like the end.
You're absolutely right. They should have had the fireworks go off. Him, like, hacking, you know, setting off the fireworks. And then they're playing Katy Perry's Fireworks. You hear him singing it over, like, they do his version of it. You're right. I think that would be perfect.
I feel like that's just, like, one of example. And just, like, a lot of the investigation stuff that, like, if they just had one more person take a pass at the script, because I think there's a lot of funny here. There's a lot of cool stuff. There's a lot of cool, like, the fight scene between The Rock and that guy who steals the phone that they chase through and they have in the house and they have the fight in the baby room.
Yes.
I think there's a lot of cool stuff that I really haven't seen in other places. I think there's a lot of good stuff here. I think that if they just had one more pass through, made the movie a little bit shorter. The fact that this is 2 hours is kind of crazy. Like,
it's long, dude.
It shouldn't be this long. And, like, just little things to just sort of tighten it up, simplify the investigation. I think this would have been a movie that, like, I loved and that a lot of people loved. But as it stood, it's a movie disliked by both critics and fans to the point that The Rock tweeted out, "We didn't make this movie for critics." He was feeling so, I guess, hurt or defensive or whatever that he had to defend this movie. But it's just like, there's a lot of, like, I don't think it's a really high bar to clear either as a Zeff movie or the Rock movie
or Baywatch
a
movie.
Summer blockbuster movie or a Baywatch movie. Just give me a little bit more. Or, like I was talking to my Cage Club and Keanu Club co-host Mike Manzi about, he was saying that, like, just make it more meta. Make it more like the Jump Street movies where, like, you're kind of poking fun a little bit at the source material. I mean, they do a little bit here, like, why is she running in slow motion? But, like, other than that, it's like they're afraid to be mean about the show, which is really, like, ripe for, you know, mockery. Like, just, you don't have to be, like, mean about the show, but just be a little bit like, hey, we know that
tongue
we're
in cheek
a movie.
About it.
We
yeah, know you should know that it exists. Yeah,
exactly.
Also, I think they should have made some more Hasselhoff shots. They should have made some Pam shots. You know what I mean? Like, they should have made some jokes about them. Like, I would have liked a Knight Rider joke. I would have liked, you know, like, eating a cheeseburger drunk. Like, if we could have seen Zeff eating a cheeseburger and drunk on the floor, that would have been really funny to me. You know what I mean? Like,
or even, like, references to, like, somebody being big in Germany or whatever. Just like,
yeah. Like, oh, like, right, Zeff Locke is really famous in Germany. You know what I mean? Like, I agree.
Just, like, just no. It's just, I don't, like, that's another thing. Like, there's, like, part there, but just if you had somebody, and I do understand, like, the Jump Street movies, especially 22 Jump Street, is, I love that movie. Like, I don't think, like, it needs to be that good, but, like, do it something like that. Just get weird with it, as opposed to, like, everybody is just so serious. Like, the actors are all serious in this movie. Like, The Rock, like, never really cracks a smile. Like, even when he's, like, making fun of Zeff, like, he's like, this is my job, like, I need to save people's lives or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. It's a strange, like, it's almost there. It's just not quite.
I agree. I can understand your qualms with it. I do wish, like, they had to try to make it an action movie for The Rock when he could have just been funny. And, like, yeah, there's a lot of falling short. I would have liked to see it cleaned up some. You could have taken a lot of logical jump liberties here because it's Baywatch. You know what I mean? Like, nothing needed to, like, flow and make sense.
No.
You could have done a lot of these things that, like, or just, like, you know, like, just drop Zeff in, make fun of him once, move along. You know, like, you don't really need, like, a tryout. You don't need the, like, you know what I mean?
I do wonder if this movie made money, because I really would like to see a sequel, because I do think that, like, once they got all this sort of out of the way,
same,
they're sort of free to get weird and get silly with it.
Yes.
Well, okay, so the movie cost $69 million to make,
which isn't that much, actually.
It made worldwide $176 million. So even if you double the budget for marketing, because there was a lot of marketing about this, it still made, like, almost $40 million. So, like, that's not bad. I mean, you can put out a sequel. Like, if I
VOD's coming out, and They're going to make more money off of it.
You need The Rock to come back.
Yes.
You need Zeff to come back.
Yes.
You need Alexandra Daddario to come back. I think you need CJ to come back, but also, like, I do love her in this movie, but I think if you just replaced her with, like, another, like, you could make it sort of make, like, a running joke, like, oh, there's just, like, another hot blonde. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like the three you need are the three that sort of spearhead the investigation that go into the morgue. You know what I mean?
Like, I don't think you need Zeff's girlfriend. I don't think you need her
to come
back.
You don't think
so? No, I don't think so. I think that she's replaceable. I think the nerdy kid is less replaceable than Zeff's girlfriend is.
That's fair. What's tough about this movie is that when it opened in third place. I mean, the other thing is that this is a rated R movie.
Is
they
it?
Go hard on the... Yeah, they curse so much. They curse so much.
Like, I don't really notice it, because you know my language, so...
Well, I know that, but, like, it doesn't offend me. It's sort of like, you know, like, the same thing... It's not as bad as Deadwood, but it's similar to that, like, you don't need to be cursing in these times. Like, it's not adding anything.
Yeah, it's I get it. I definitely get it.
It's lazy.
Yeah.
But it opened in third place. Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Men Tell No Tales opened with $62 million, which, of course, that was always going to make a ton of money.
Yeah.
And then Guardians of the Galaxy 2, in its fourth week in theaters, still made more money than this.
Damn.
So, I mean, it opened in a tough weekend. It's the, you know, it's the beginning.
Those were two movies that, like, that's a rough summer blockbuster lineup to try to go against. So I get it.
The other thing is, like, this summer has been really, really good for movies. Blockbusters have been pretty good, and indie movies have been really good. And I think that if this came out in a worse summer, I don't know that critics would have loved it, but I think they would have been a little bit more fair on it. But when you have really good blockbusters coming out this year,
yeah,
it highlights even further just how this wasn't, you know, necessarily worth the price of admission.
Yeah, I'm very glad that I didn't see it in theaters. I mean, like, I wanted to, I planned on it. I wouldn't have been disappointed because I really liked it. But at the same time, like, this felt like a good watch-at-home kind of movie. To make a blockbuster that you feel really comfortable with watching at home isn't a good sign. A
couple other names that The Rock calls, Zeff, he calls him Troubled Youth, Malibu Ken.
Malibu Ken was a good one.
McDreamy and Bieber. Yeah, Malibu Ken's, like, a good one, but, like, Troubled Youth is lazy, McDreamy's lazy, Bieber's
no,
really
McDreamy
lazy.
Was good, because he was in that, like, you know, he was dressed like a doctor, they were in the morgue, him dropping the McDreamy on him in that situation was really funny to me. I laughed
at that
one.
So that's going to come back later in my grand unifying theory, so I will talk about that a little bit later. I have thoughts about that. So Ronnie is the dumpy kid, the nerdy guy. He does that panda dance, or the dance to panda, the song.
Yeah, which I didn't enjoy that part at all. Like, he wasn't a good enough dancer to sell it, and it wasn't flamboyant enough for it to be funny. It was, like, somewhere in between, and I was like, okay, like, you can stop. And it also ran on for, like, 2 or 3 minutes.
They spend a lot of time on that. They don't cut away from it.
No.
They show that CJ is, like, enraptured by it. The Bollywood actress, this is actually pretty cool. So the main
I knew she was a Bollywood actress. What has she been in? Let me look
know.
It up. Because I swear I've seen her in a Bollywood movie. I really, really did. Well, do you know what her name is?
Her name is Priyanka Chopra.
Priyanka.
I will send you her IMDb.
I got it.
Right
no,
now.
I'm looking it up right now.
She was in Barfie, which I don't know what that is. She was in Quantico, which is a TV show on an American show. It looks like she's kind of crossed over. She's still doing a lot of Indian movies. But what's cool about it is that her character was originally written for a man, and then the director met her or something and was like, oh, I want you to be this part.
Yeah, I mean, dude, she plays a really great... I think that she doesn't do a bad job at this, so I was pretty happy with it.
I think there is one, I don't want to say it's like a misstep, but at the very end, when she's about to get blown up by a firework, Zeff calls her crazy. He's like, you're crazy. And she says, like, if I was a man, you'd call me driven. And I was like, this is not the kind of movie that I want to be giving lessons about, like, sexist talk. You know what I mean? Like, okay, like, that's a valid point, but not in this movie.
Yeah, dude, I'm all for equality and stuff like that, but come on, this movie's about tits and beautiful women. Yeah, I don't want to be taught about what I'm doing wrong when I'm already just watched this blonde chick's boobs for, you know, 2 hours. Tranny Zeff, can we talk about Tranny Zeff?
What part of Tranny Zeff?
That it was just hilarious and he looked really good and I liked the Tranny Zeff.
Oh, and then when he's, like, doing the... When he does the obstacle course and The Rock's like, cool, but that wasn't the obstacle course. It's like, why did you make him do that then?
Yeah, and then it was kind of lazy writing to just, like, make them do, like, a strength competition. Because, like, The Rock is obviously going to win that. Like, I wanted him to beat him at swimming. You know what I mean? Like, that would have been, like, the ultimate thing. Like, an in-the-water obstacle course. And The Rock could have, like, beat him with, like, lifeguard techniques. Right. You know what I mean? And it would have been like, oh, like, you're a good swimmer, but, like, The Rock will always beat you at, like, dragging people out of the water. You know what I mean? If they'd had, like, some floating dummies or something, this would have been much more believable.
Instead, it's flipping a giant tire and then carrying two refrigerators on your shoulders. Like,
yeah, it's like, okay. How do you expect Zeph to, like, compete with that? Like, that's not...
But he still does, kind of.
And they didn't have The Rock just crush him in the obstacle course, which they also should have done, you know what I mean? So it's like, you kind of got like half and half, and it wasn't really fair. I didn't like that part.
What's also weird is that later in the movie, when they kind of team up, I think it might be right after The Rock gets fired, Zeph says about that guy who gets blown up on the ship or gets killed on the ship or whatever, he's like, oh no, he was wearing a really expensive tag watch. And The Rock was like, yeah, I saw that watch. But it's like, well, then why didn't you do something about that? Like,
no, he said he saw the watch on some other one of her cronies.
But he said it in a way that, like, oh, yeah, like, that's something I know about, but I just didn't think it was important. Like, it's just like,
well, he didn't know about it. Wait, you're going into this because he didn't know about it because he didn't see it on that guy. Zeph just mentioned it to him, and he said, oh, I've seen it on other guys, not that guy.
Then maybe I just have a problem with the way that The Rock delivered that line, because it didn't feel like enough of a reveal. Because that's how they sort of link everything together, and just like,
it wasn't
oh, okay.
A reveal, though. It was that Zeph made the connection, and they, like, connected it together. And he's like, oh, yeah, you're right. I've definitely seen it on some other guys. Now that you brought that up, this makes sense.
That's fair.
It wasn't like The Rock figured it out right there. It was that Zeph said something about it. And then The Rock was like, oh, cool, we can piece it together now. And they, like, tag-teamed it.
But what I do like as sort of a next, as, like, a follow-up to that, they sort of, you know, they double down on the investigation there. They sort of take Zeph in, and they start doing things together. But all Zeph wants to do is investigate the other girls who are on that boat and just, like, really high. And The Rock's like, no, they're really high. They won't remember anything. And Zeph's like, oh, even better. Like, let me just go do that. Like, I like that he's consistent to that kind of character. And that worked for me. It's just... The rest of, because now, that worked for me, I think, because he's, like, accepted into the group. You know what I mean? Like, they're not making fun of him for that. They're like, oh, like, look at this little rascal.
Yeah. It's like old Zeph being Zeph again, you know? Those girls on the boat were stupid hot, too, so I get it.
Everybody, like, even the extras in the background, like, if you just, like, look around, it's just like, oh boy, okay.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I mean, they did a good job of casting. Did you catch the Kevin Hart reference?
No? Maybe?
The Rock has somebody in a headlock near the end, and he goes, you gonna go night-night, bitch, which is a Kevin Hart line from his stand-ups, which I'm sure you've seen.
Well,
yeah.
You know what is similar to that is that at one point, The Rock said that he hits rock bottom, which apparently when he was a wrestler, the rock bottom was his finishing move?
Yeah, that was his signature move, dude.
I never watched wrestling. I don't know anything about wrestling.
The people's elbow and rock bottom. Those were his two moves. Man, wrestling was a lot of fun when I was a kid. So, yeah.
Another thing that I don't really love about this, and again, it's just because it's lazy,
what?
Is the Rock making Zeph look at that guy's taint and, like, just get close to his dead dick. You
yeah,
know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it's
yeah.
Just like, because that, again, just like the dance, like, that was so long. And I like the payoff of, you know, The Rock just taking a picture, but just like, oh, like, look at him being uncomfortable and kind of homophobic and, like, yeah.
It was a very, very long run. And I don't even think it was him being homophobic. That was just like, I just don't want to touch some other dude's
gross dead guy.
Dick.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to touch gross dead dick either. The writing does feel lazy in this movie overall. But at the same time, you were seeing Baywatch. Again, like, lazy writing is, like, a part of Baywatch, so it's not really that bad. That's why, like, I don't blame this movie for a lot of its choices. It could have been much better. I think that if we did all the things that we talked about, I would have enjoyed it much more. But at the same time, like, if you just turn your brain off, you just fucking watch it like it's a Fast and the Furious, and you just, like, want to see beautiful people do dumb shit, like, it's a good movie.
I just wish that they elevated it a little bit, you know? Like, they had the ability to, yeah.
We're holding it to higher standards because of what we wanted out of it, and other people did the same thing too for different reasons. And you're right, like, we've seen Zeph act better, we've seen The Rock act better, but at the same time, it's fucking Baywatch, so it's like, do I really care? No. I think that I will watch this movie again, not anytime soon. I wouldn't mind watching it again. Like, it's not terrible. Like, there's a couple of, like, The Rock action movies that, like, I never want to see again. And, like, this is pretty fun.
Another bit of foreshadowing is when he learns about sand grifters, and then he sees that guy sand grifting and stealing purses with the cooler. And he said at one point, Zeph was like, yo, this cooler's cool. And I was just thinking about how you wanted to buy a cooler last week, and I was just like, oh, I bet like Joe's like really into this cooler. Like that should be the kind of cooler you get a brisket for, one with a grifting bottom, so you can just go around and snatch up purses and just absorb it into the brisket.
You absolutely can. That's really funny. Matt has a giant boner. So there's like a whole long. I'll take a little side story. I've been wanting to buy a cooler. I know exactly which cooler I want. I was telling my friends, I'm going to buy this cooler, but it's on back order. I need the cooler to put the brisket in when it's done, to let it like rest at temp and tenderize itself, but not be cooked and dry out. That's why I need the cooler. I tell my friends, I'm going to get this cooler. My buddy Matt, who we've talked about before, says, you should check out this other cooler. I said, no, that's a lame-ass cooler. I don't want that cooler. Fuck that. He said, like, no, this is a really great cooler. Dude, it's so fucking good. Look at all the options and shit. I'm like, Matt, I don't care. It's a lame-ass cooler. I don't want that one. I know exactly which one I want. I have it picked out. It's just on back order. I'm not going to get it in time. I'm not going to order it. And he's like, I'm going to get this. So actually, I didn't tell you this part of the story, but like 2 days ago, Matt was over here and Matt's like sitting on my couch and he's like, you should have got that other cooler. And I'm like, I'm never going to get that other cooler, Matt. Shut the fuck up. And he's like, you know what? And he like looks it up and he's like, oh man, I found it for even cheaper on Amazon. He's like, I'm going to buy it right now. And so, he ordered it then, and like this morning, or like either yesterday or today, I forget which one it was, but like Matt gets the cooler, and like we're in our group chat, and my buddy Zach is like, Matt, which cooler did you get? And I'm like, he got the fucking Igloo, but I didn't realize that he was just trying to get Matt all hype on the cooler again, just to fuck with him. Anyways, Matt has a boner for this fucking Igloo cooler, Igloo Sportsman. If you want to buy a shitty, lame looking cooler, like that's cool. I mean,
I can't wait for Matt to never hear you tell the story on this podcast.
Yeah, I know. He's not going to listen to it, but we've been laughing about him in this cooler for like 4 days now. If he did listen to it, he'd find out that we've just still been laughing. I mean, we laugh at him to his face about the cooler, but he's all excited for it. Like we're gonna take a ride back. Like we're gonna take a ride. Oh, cool. This will be out. So I'm gonna take a ride home and go to Pittsburgh this weekend. And Matt, like every time like we bring up like going home, he's like, but I'm gonna have that cooler in case we get beers. And I'm like, okay, Matt, cool. And like every time we say we're like, okay, we're like gonna go do this, and he's like, yeah. And if we need to grab beers, I'll have the cooler. And we're like, oh, yeah, Matt, we know you just bought the cooler. Like you've been talking about it for 2 weeks. That's a little side Matt story for everyone.
So I'm looking through my notes, and I don't really have a lot more to talk about until we get to sort of my big theory, because I want to get to that. But there's the big firework finale where they sort of hack into... There's this whole thing with, like, Zeph and The Rock know nothing about tech. Like, Zeph says, as much as I know about laptops, I don't know shit about computers. It's like, oh, okay. And they hack into this, you know, the system, and they find out, you know, where to go, and then he finds all these drugs, and then they hack into the fireworks display, and sort of, you know, that's the big climactic scene.
Yeah.
And they win at the end, and then after the bad guy, the bad woman, has been vanquished, they're running on the beach all in slow motion, and Zeph falls down. And didn't I remember, weren't there news stories like he fell down... But, like, it wasn't, like, part of this. I think this is, like, a play.
No, it was exactly this. No, this is... The pictures were exactly this, because when I saw it, I said to Rachel, like, oh, those are all those pictures that were floating around when they were talking about, like, Baywatch is coming out. It was all this picture of, like, Zeph falling. And I don't know if it was, like, real or faked, and they left it in the movie or what, but it was definitely those exact pictures. You're right.
And then in the closing credits, there are so many, like, little Zeph smooches. Like, he's kissing people's heads, and, like, Ronnie, the nerdy guy, is, like, kissing him.
Yeah,
and
all that was
little,
a good
like,
one.
Cute little things, which is funny. Then I wrote down there's the two things that Rob Hubel says back-to-back. He says, you're like a dolphin on cocaine, but not annoying at all. Which
yes,
great.
Which was a really great one. I love that one, too, yeah.
You're like if a human fucked a jet ski, which isn't possible at all, but it would be so cool. Like, yeah, also, that's also good.
Yeah.
Like, I want more of those in the movie.
Same.
Why is Rob Hubel not in the movie more?
Same. So I wish that The Rock was delivering those to Zeph when he's making fun of him. Not like NSYNC, Backstreet Boy,
right.
Justin Bieber, yes. Like every boy band boy person ever. I wanted him to be like, you're like a dolphin on cocaine, you know? Like that would have been hilarious.
Because it's obvious that he, like, I know that he doesn't like him, that he comes in all pompous, and The Rock is like, I can't believe I have to deal with this, so, you know, like this needy little kid or whatever. But it's pretty clear quickly that The Rock is appreciative of him and, like, you know, kind of in, you know, he knows that he's going to be an asset to the team. Exactly. And so, like, you don't have to be mean. You can just sort of, like, make fun of him in funny, creative ways as opposed to just, like, hey, Lance Bass, like, boom, you know, like, just, ugh,
yeah.
All right. And the only thing I've written down about the movie is the thing that from the trailer is that, like, Zeph looks at Alexander Daddario's boobs that they're all covered up. And she's like, did you just look at my boobs? And he's like, I don't know. But then in the closing credits, they play it back where she's like looking at his junk. And then she's like, she says, I'd love it if you wore tighter pants. I really would. Which I like that she's sort of giving it back to him. And I wish that kind of thing was in the movie too. You know what
I
mean?
Yeah, the outtakes were actually probably some of the best like comedic parts of the movie. I agree. I wish I would have actually made the final cut.
Do you have anything else to say about the movie before getting to trivia, and then I can say my theory, and then we can do the games? Or do you have anything else about the movie that we didn't cover from your notes?
No, I just want to say that I did really like this. I think that if you just take it totally at face value, it's not that bad. It was a fun Zeff movie for me to watch. This movie got really, really bad. Right, let me look up the numbers here real quick. 19 on Rotten Tomatoes. Like, come on, we've seen some worse Zeff movies than this. Like, that was just like it was like such a big name movie. It was like hated because it wasn't what people wanted, not because it's actually that bad.
I don't love this movie. I don't think it's a good movie at all, but I do enjoy it. It's somewhere in the middle of my favorite Zeff movies. I also do appreciate the fact that, like, you know that it's not great in a lot of ways, that you know that it could be better in ways. So you're not like disillusioned about that this is like a great movie.
Oh, me? Yeah.
It is fun. It is fun.
I just find it enjoyable. Like, I really liked it. I don't think that it's great by any means of like film. It was fun. If you watch it for what it is, it's fun, you know? Like, don't look too far into it.
So, in terms of trivia about this, a bunch of people were considered for the role of Summer, Alexandra Daddario, the woman that Zeff is in love with. Nina Dobrev from Vampire Diaries, from a bunch of stuff. She's really cute.
I don't know her.
Ashley Benson would have been great.
Who's Ashley Benson?
From Spring Breakers.
Oh, fuck yes. Absolutely.
Alexandra Shipp, who played Storm in the new X-Men movies, or at least in the X-Men Apocalypse. And then a bunch of people I don't know. Shelley Hennig from Teen Wolf, Bianca Santos from The Fosters, Denise Tantz from The Fosters, and then Georgie Porter, who is this beautiful blonde from this show called Hollyoaks, which I don't know. I think it's either Australian or British. She auditioned and didn't get the part.
I would love to have seen the chick from Spring Breakers, now that I'm just disappointed. I think you did just officially ruin the movie for me.
Well, good. I'm sorry. Pamela Anderson didn't want to be in the movie.
Wow.
But she, I guess, got suckered and guilted in or whatever.
Got paid is what she did.
9 wrestlers were in the TV show. So The Rock is the 10th wrestler to be in a Baywatch thing.
Oh, cool.
Hulk Hogan, Randy Savage, and Ric Flair, and a bunch of other people that I don't know were in the TV show. So
nice.
There's like a history of
wrestlers.
You know, I guess just shirtless people in their daily lives just being on the beach or whatever.
Yeah.
Justin Timberlake and Justin Bieber were rumored to have roles in the film, but they don't. I guess there's just a lot of like rumors floating around of like, oh, did you hear that he's in this movie or whatever?
Yeah.
Jessica Simpson was rumored to be cast as CJ, who is the Kelly Rohrbach one, the hot blonde.
I think that she would have actually done a good CJ. I wouldn't have been upset with
but
that.
But she's also like 15 years older, or 10 years older at least, than CJ. You know what I mean? Like, CJ is like 22.
I get it, but I'm saying, like, I think Jessica Simpson, like, look-wise, based purely on looks, I think that she would have done okay.
Bill Hader. You know Bill Hader?
Yes.
He was rumored for the role of Mitch, the Rock role, which is very strange.
Yeah, that doesn't work at all in my head, but okay.
It would have to be, like, a completely different dynamic, because he's like this, you know, because it would be, I think it'd be, like, a funnier movie as opposed to a serious movie. Not that The Rock can't be funny, but, like, when you have The Rock in the movie, you'd be like, oh, look at this guy who's, like, all business or whatever. As opposed to Bill Hader, who is Stefan in SNL and just like, okay.
But I mean, honestly, like, I don't think the Hoff was ever, like, super ripped, you know? I think that for a new age thing, The Rock was a good choice. I think that Bill Hader would have been a very comedic choice. I agree with you.
Kelly Brook, Kate Upton, and Charlotte McKinney were all rumored for the part of CJ. So basically, any model with really big boobs was considered or rumored for that role. That makes sense. Glamour models Keely Hazel and Kelly Bell were rumored to have auditioned.
I don't know.
I know Keely Hazel. I don't know who Kelly Bell is. And the only other note I have is that whoever submitted it to IMDb was like, coincidentally, even though it's not coincidentally, Zeff's name is Matt Brody. That is named after two different characters from Jaws. There's Matt Hooper and there's Chief Brody. So it's kind of a combination of another beach water themed thing.
Okay, a little nod to Jaws. I wish that was a little bit more obvious, but okay.
Okay, so here's my grand unifying theory of Zeff. That when I was watching this in theaters, I was bored. Because it's long. I don't love the investigation stuff.
There's a lot of the drags on. I agree. Yeah.
I wrote that, like, I don't think this has any bearing on anything, but I really hope it's true. I don't love it. I said that I would watch it, you know, 5 or 10 times before I rewatched That Awkward Moment even just once. You know what I mean?
Agreed, yeah.
I think it could be a lot funnier. At one point, so this is where my theory sort of kicked in. So when they're in the morgue, when they are investigating, Zeph says, "I feel like a doctor." And I was like, "Well, Zeph, you were a doctor
in Parkland. Yep, he was. Exactly. That was another throwback. Yep."
And I was like, "You were good in that movie, even though the movie wasn't the best." I said, "You were great in a lot of things. You just fallen into a rut." I said, "In Baywatch, his character needs to recover and earn the trust and good graces of those around him." And then I said, "With news that he'll be playing Ted Bundy in an upcoming movie, I couldn't help but think that this was a metaphor for his film career."
Hmm.
I realized it's not intentional, but that's where my mind went during the one long, long, humorless stretches of the movie. At the end of the movie, when they are fighting the bad girl, Zeph is thrown off a boat, bound in a locked cage. He's saved a minute or so later by the Rock, but I'm going to pretend that he actually died in the water, and that the Zeph that came up from below the water is a new man, free of his frat boy roots, and ready for a new phase in his career. His party boy self is behind him, and he's a respected, respectable man now.
Like Jesus Zeph.
Yes, exactly. Back
Zephsis?
From the dead.
Zephsis?
Zephsis.
Okay.
Or just Jesus Efron. Will this mark a new era in Zeph's career? I can only hope. He's in a couple upcoming movies that sound decidedly unlike the other movies he's made lately, including The Greatest Showman, which is a musical that he's going to be in, which is going to be cool.
That's right.
About the circus or whatever.
Yeah.
He's also going to be in the Ted Bundy movie. He's going to be in other stuff that's different.
The Room, right? Isn't he in The Room one?
The Disaster Artist, yep.
Yeah.
I always think that Neighbors will be one of his best movies, but I know that he can be more than just the good-looking butt of every joke. So, I mean, when he, like, I think that when he gets thrown overseas, it's sort of like a cleansing, like a wiping away his sins, washing him free of
like
guilt
white sage,
and absolving
like he got
him.
Smudge or something.
Yeah. So that's sort of my theory, my hopes, my dreams, my wishes.
I wish that too. I mean, I think that he's only going up. This was like a little half step. I don't even think this was a back step. I don't think this was anything, but like, dude, he needed to be in this. He looks ripped. He got paid. Good for Zeph. It's a big movie. It's exposure that he needs, you know what I mean? So he can still do these big films.
Does he
still
need exposure? Because he's like a known quantity.
Yeah, but you need to stay in big movies. You can't just Franco the fuck out of this all the time. Like, and be in like all these weird movies that you want to be in. You know what I mean?
I still think it's funny that we were going to do James Franco for a podcast, and we were like, oh, he's been in 160 movies, and if we did one a month, it would take us over 10 years.
Yeah, and he's, like, still super prolific. Like, he's making, like, tons of movies at all times, so...
He's doing, like, 9 or something this year? Like, he's just, like, it's insane.
Yeah, and so I'm assuming... Okay, so, like, do the comparison. How many Franco movies do you think are good of his 165 that he had?
Oh, no, it's not... I mean, maybe 40?
Yes.
Which is a lot, but, like, I mean, there's a lot that aren't good.
Yeah, there's a lot that are probably, like, way worse than That Awkward Moment, and I'm sure and he has, like, a few better than Neighbors and shit like that, but it's, like, Zeph's ratios are gotta be close, you know?
Yeah. Any other last thoughts about this before we get into the games?
No, I'm excited to get into the games.
So, mailbag, there is no mail, because as we're recording this, we just released the last episode yesterday.
Jenny, write us some mail.
Didn't expect to have any mail.
I'm waiting
Jenny
for more
Jess.
Email from you, please.
Jess Montez.
Or Jess Montez. Ugh. Disgusting.
Still waiting on that. Google game we can finally play for the first time in a while. So
wow,
we're
shit.
We're going to Google Baywatch Zac Efron.
Oh, I got one. I got a good one. And you're going to be mad that I already remembered it. What?
What are the autocompletes?
Zac Efron Baywatch Fall?
No.
Ugh. Zac Efron Baywatch Shirtless?
No.
Hair?
No.
Fuck, I thought the tumble would have got me.
So the ones that we're not going to guess, the first one is just Baywatch Zac Efron.
Okay.
Number 3 is release date. Number 4 is trailer. Number 5 is interview. Number 6 is scene. There are two people so one is Zac Efron and Dwayne Johnson. One is Zac Efron and Alexandra, the Dario.
Okay.
But there are three other things. One thing we've talked about, one thing we did not talk about, which I'm surprised that we didn't talk about, and then
motorcycle?
One thing that's motorcycle, yep, is number
cross-dresser?
7.
Dress.
Is number 6, which we did not talk about. I still don't understand why, other than, like, wouldn't it be funny to see Zeph in a dress? Like, I guess.
Yeah, it has no reasonings, but I liked it. I mean, he played it cool, and, like, the dress was funny, and just to make fun of Matt again, Matt likes muscular women, like, you know, like pretty fit chicks,
okay,
which is pretty funny because none of us are very fit. I always like
So he needs to find a CJ.
No, but he also likes tattoo. Matt's really weird. Never mind. Let's not get into what Matt's taste in women are. It's fucking weird. But anyways, he likes very fit chicks, so we like to send him pictures of female bodybuilders all the time to mess with him because he says, no, he doesn't like female bodybuilders. He likes fit chicks. Whenever I saw Zeph in a dress, I was like, Matt, totally your speed. And I was like, you know who she is? And he was like, I don't know, but it kind of looks like a man. I was like, yeah, Zeffin address. Totally for you. He was not as amused as I was, but I thought it was funny.
So that story actually relates to the first autocomplete, which is Baywatch Zac Efron diet. Basically, ooh. I guess guys and girls, like, how do I look like that, or how do I get my boyfriend to look like that?
This is like the 300 thing. Wasn't there another movie that he was like diet or exercise plan or something?
Yeah, what was that?
I don't know. Was it Neighbors? It might have been Neighbors. We've been talking about Neighbors a lot.
I think it was a recent one. I do think that this is probably like he probably ate 6,000 calories a day, like all protein, and then spent 12 hours in the gym. Like, there's no other way to like look like this unless you're like roiding up. You know what I mean? Like,
he's definitely on some supplements because you're not like that like veiny. Like, he was like super veiny in this one too. You know what I mean?
Yep. Trailer. Oh, we actually watched the trailer now.
Oh, cool.
Okay, so we have lots of trailers. So let's see.
Just pick one. I was going to use the one from our favorite movie website because I think that would be a good one. But
Okay, so I searched Baywatch trailer and then I sorted by view count. So The number one is from Paramount Pictures. It's got a little over 10 million views, 10,681,000.
Okay.
Baywatch 2017 official trailer, Paramount Pictures.
Okay.
All right. 3, 2, 1, play.
Running. Zep right already. I'm oceanic, motherfucker. Oh, we see the end already? Okay.
Yeah, which is weird. Like, I don't understand. This is... There's so many cuts.
A lot of boxing. I forgot about the boxing in this movie. Diving under the fire, that's a cool move. Dragging somebody out.
Credits.
Oh, him with the sandcastle, that was pretty cool. I like that.
Yep. Again, like, he's sort of the god of the
big dick joke again.
Awesome. Yep. See, even the extras, like, those are just three babes in the
Yeah,
just like,
I was
oh,
just gonna
just
say.
Everybody's stacked.
Zeff on a motorcycle.
Does he trash his motorcycle when he saves that girl, or does he sort of, like, bail out at the last minute?
He bails out at the last minute. I was hoping he would run it off the dock. The training, the competition.
Oh, they're on other sides. That's not how it was in the movie.
What?
The Rock was on the left in the movie, wasn't it? Yeah.
No, it was the same way.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. Okay, them falling off the deck. Oh, him getting punched in the head. I forgot about him getting, like, punched in the head while she's trying to save her kids or whatever.
See, this is the problem. This is why I don't watch trailers anymore, because I feel like this is...
Tells you everything.
Exactly. Him falling into the... And then, like, him standing up and just saying, you know, let's do shots or whatever. I mean, they don't show that in here yet, but...
Yeah.
It's. I feel like that was in another trailer or whatever. There's also the fact that there were, like, a teaser trailer, there were two official trailers. It's, like, everything you want to see about this movie. Although, with this kind of movie, like, you know, it's... Maybe it's not a bad thing. Like, maybe you're just like, oh, I saw the trailer, like, I've seen Baywatch, basically.
Yeah. This cop needed to be used more, and I think Hannibal should have been the cop, actually.
What's that cop been in? Do we know?
Yeah, he's been in stuff.
I'm gonna look him up after this.
Oh, God, when she spanked herself and walked away. Oh, my God. She's so fire. Oh, we had Tranny Zeff in the trailer, too? Shit.
Man, there's... It's like... So... Oh, God.
Was that pink Vespa thing in the movie? Because I don't remember that.
I don't remember. Jason Bourne got shit on me. Oh, he gets punched in the head again there. Always getting punched in the head. Man, if they have the fat drip on him, I feel like they might. Yep, here we go.
Damn, everything from this movie. Holy shit, this is a crazy trailer.
It's just a little dead man's It's fat. Disappointing, really.
Yeah, dude, this would have been rough. Like, if I would have seen this first and...
Man, like, what's left? Like, I don't understand. This is why I don't understand people who, like, just watch trailer after trailer after trailer, because, like, that's the entire movie.
Yeah, that was a lot of the movie. Like, a lot of it.
Although, I am glad that the first time we got to do the trailer game in, you know, 3 or 4 episodes or whatever it's been, we actually got sort of, like, there was a lot of talk
about that one. A real trailer. Yeah, that was a real trailer.
I'm going to look up that cop. Let's see here. Hannibal is credited as just Dave the Tech. Not even given a last name. He's Sergeant Ellerby. His name is Yahya Abdul-Mateen II. Oh, no, he hasn't been in a lot. Wow. He's in that TV show The Get Down, which was canceled on Netflix. They had the two halves the first season, the Baz Luhrmann show.
People he's like liked it, too.
Billed in that. He's going to be in the new Aquaman movie coming out next year. Oh, he's going to be in The Greatest Showman with Zeff again this year.
Oh, wow, another Zeff Nexion here.
He was in a short film in 2012, but his next credit was 2017 with Sidney Hall, The Get Down, in this movie. So
Cool.
Sydney Hall's a movie that I want to see. It was from a Sundance film with a couple other people that I really like. So this guy's a newcomer. It just feels like, I think that's a compliment to him, that it feels like he's been around because he's so good in that small role, and I wish that there was more of him.
Yeah. I liked it. I think that he has some potential, and I want to see him in The Greatest Showman too.
So we can't do Crying and Shirtless and Job and Sport because we've already done that for the next episode. We didn't realize when we were recording the Sharpay's Fabulous Adventure 2 episode that Baywatch was going to be out this month.
Yeah.
So it sort of, you know, caught us off guard a little bit. Next episode, which comes out in 3 days, if you're listening to this on the day it comes out, which is the Miracle Run episode, we can go back to that game. The Letterboxd game, we can actually play again once more, which is pretty exciting.
Okay.
So there's a couple different Letterboxd games that we're going to play. Let me load up the Baywatched Letterboxd page.
This is a tough one because this movie hasn't been out on DVD yet, so my numbers are going to be a little hard. It's going to be a little tricky here.
All right. Oh, let me actually bring up also Mad Max just for comparison's sake.
Mad Max. Oh, yeah, that's right.
So Mad Max Fury Road has been seen by 144,000 people.
Yes.
Okay. It has 2,400 and change people who put it in their top four films of all time.
Yes.
So Baywatch has been seen by, do you want to guess the number of people? I don't remember exactly how we play this. Do you want to guess the number seen, or do you want to know that and guess the number of people in the top four?
No, I guess the number of people that's seen it too.
So 144,000 people saw Mad Max Fury Road or logged it on Letterboxd. How many people saw Baywatch?
12,513.
No. I'm going to give you one hint.
Okay.
And then you can guess again, and then we can sort of go from there, see how it goes. It's a far smaller number. It's not a small number, but it's a far smaller number than I would have expected. So you were too high in your first one.
4,567.
You are close. It's 6,066. So
see, now go back and check this number after this comes out on DVD. Like, when this comes out, I bet that it's going to be a lot closer.
Okay, so now a follow-up question. Out of those 6,066, how many people, and there is a number higher than zero, how many people put it in their top four films of all time?
I would go 5.
3.
I was going to guess 3. Shit, I was going to guess 3. Okay, I was close, though. Okay.
So the weirdest thing is that one guy, who basically has the equivalent of a Twitter egg, gave it 2 stars, put it in his top 4. His review of the movie is...
was?
Let me load it up. His other 4 favorite movies... I want to see, before I spoil those, because that's the other game you can play, guess what other movies are in there. All I'm saying is, there is a joke about Steve Irwin being dead. Maybe not that funny, guys. This guy took offense to a joke in the movie, and yet...
Put it in
his top 4 movies of all time.
Maybe he just doesn't even know what he's doing with, like, the no face and stuff. You know what I mean? So.
Okay, so here's what we're going to do. His other top 4 movies, I don't know if this is a joke. I don't know what. They're all movies with The Rock. It's Baywatch, The Scorpion King, Tooth Fairy, and Faster.
Okay, that's amazing. Okay.
There's another person who barely uses Letterboxd, who has in their top 4. His other top 4 are Intruders, which is not a good horror movie, a movie called Morgan, which I don't know, and a movie called The Throwaways.
Wait, Morgan? Is that the one with the little girl? That was a good movie.
No, this is a different Morgan.
Okay.
There is, the third person who put it in the top 4 is a girl.
Yes.
A cute girl.
Okay.
On Twitter, @FireHawson. I don't know where, this is weird. Okay, so she has top 4. Baywatch is her number 2.
Okay.
2 other movies. So the one you're never going to guess is Love, Rosie, which is a movie that came out a couple years ago with Lily Collins, who I love, and Sam Claflin. It's a British film. That's in her top 4. 2 other movies in her top 4 also came out this year. What do you
Guardians
think?
Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Is her number 1. And?
And Pirates of the Caribbean, the new one.
Nope. 2 more guesses.
Shit. What other movies came out this year? Let me look. And I got like a half a cheat sheet here. I'm going to go Rogue One.
Nope. That was last year.
Oh, sorry.
She gave Baywatch 5 out of 5 stars and gave it a little heart designation, which means that she likes it. So she was all in on Zeff.
Ghost in the Shell.
Nope. Spider-Man Homecoming.
Oh, God. I hate the new Spider-Mans, but okay. Good for her.
Well, this is a new Spider-Man. This is a new Spider-Man.
Oh, that's right. They redid. They got rid of Andrew Garfield already. That's right.
Yep.
Okay.
So that was that. Okay, the last game that we have to play is Fire Ass Titles,
Ooh.
Which I feel like is really hard for this. because I feel like Baywatch is such a simple thing that it almost...
Are you giving up? You don't want to play this game with me, bro?
It's almost on par with High School Musical, sort of. I'll lead off with Lifeguards.
Poseidon.
The Beach.
The Olympiad.
The Vomit Comet.
Muscles.
Boobs.
Flocka.
Oh, the drug is called Flocka, which is...
A real drug. It's a real drug.
That actually, how does that compare to an ECA stack? This is our new weekly drug segment here on Zack Attack.
I have no idea, dude. Flocka is like a new drug, and it's fucking, it's fucking weird, man.
It was launched in your retirement.
Yeah, I've definitely never done Flocka. It didn't exist when I was doing drugs. It's like I hate to feel this old, but it's like a drug that I would never want to try to do. It's like some weird like synthetic meth type situation. Like fuck that shit. No way.
Whoa. Okay.
Like analog synthetic meth is what I think it is, but I'm not sure because I don't fuck with that shit.
Also in this movie, there is a whole subplot about how she wants, like, it's like urban development, and she wants to own the bay, and so like that one guy Chen is holding out. Yeah, it's just like, oh boy, like why is that in the movie?
Yeah, we didn't need to talk about it. We just skimmed over it. See, it didn't really matter.
But it's such a prevalent...
The shark bite.
Does somebody get bit by a shark?
Yeah, Hannibal does. That's how he died.
Oh, right. Beautiful People on the Beach.
Beach Cop.
It's from the trailer. What is... Oh, Lifeguard Pursuit.
Lifeguard Pursuit. I like that.
All right, I think that's a good place to end.
Good.
That'd be a good name of a movie. Almost like... That's on par with, like, Let's Be Cops. You know what I mean? Like, that's just like a...
Yeah, I like it.
Job in an action.
Lifeguard Pursuit, yep.
Any other thoughts about Baywatch in general? I don't know when The Disaster Artist or The Greatest Showman come out, so I don't know when the Blu-rays are going to come out. So this might be the last bonus, like true bonus Zack Attack for the year. When those do come out, we will cover them. That might be next year, might be later this year. I don't know.
We've still got another five episodes or four episodes
or whatever left. So
yeah.
But any other last thoughts about Baywatch?
No. I think that it's worth the watch. If you like Zeph, watch it.
It's worth the Baywatch.
It's worth the Baywatch. You can go in Lifeguard Pursuit of finding the movie on Blu-ray. Yeah, do it. It's fun. Don't look too much into it, but watch the movie. It's fun.
Maybe drink some beers. Maybe check.
Oh, I got hammered watching this movie. I mean, like, it was probably played into me loving it. Yeah, dude, I got get some untapped badges. Is that what you said?
Yep. Yeah, show off to your friends how many more badges you have than them. Like, yeah, you're an alcoholic.
By the way, the only reason why I showed that to you and you didn't get it either is that last night they, like, updated the app. So if you had over... The badges were cut off at 50. And if you had over that, what happened was I checked in one beer and it instantly gave me from 50 to 100 worth of badges all at once.
Oh, wow.
So,
okay.
Because I had already drank all those beers, but they, like, updated the number to 100. So what happened was it's like I got, like, 100 and, like, or almost 200 badges. It was, like, 150 or something.
So
in, like,
it's, like,
one
it's like raising the level cap in, like, an MMO online. Like,
exactly.
You have all the experience.
Yes.
That's really funny.
Yes.
Because I was thinking, when I saw that picture, I was like, this is real unrelated to Zack Attack, but, you know, people are listening to this, not just for Zac Efron, but also maybe for us.
Maybe.
When I saw that picture, I was like, I thought they capped at 50, but maybe I misremember that. And then, because you were like level 98, 99, whatever, and I was like, okay. I'm like, oh, it's just a lot of badges. You explained it to me, it makes sense. So, congratulations on really, truly being an alcoholic.
Oh, dude, I've proof in the pudding. So, yeah.
Well, for all things Zack Attack, you can go to cageclub.me or facebook.com/cageclub or at cageclubpod on Twitter. Actually, since the last time we recorded, which was like a week ago, we decided that we're going to do another new podcast too. So on the...
Oh, that's right. We have a third new podcast.
On the new show announcement, which is coming in a couple months, we are going
to fucking announce that one too. Yeah.
Three new podcasts. It's not an actor. It's something different. So Jenny and whoever else wants to write in, you can email us, zackattack@cageclub.me.
Should we give them the hint? Should we give them the hint of what it's going to be?
No. Okay,
like, like a hint of like what it's going to be, like a hint to guess. I was going to give them a hint to guess.
It's something that we've talked about a lot.
No, I was going to give them a better hint. Can I just give them
something
what?
Something we've talked about.
Okay, well, that's way better hint than what I was going to give them. If I'd give them that one, it would have been so easy to put together. Okay.
Well,
fine.
Then what's your hint? Maybe I'll just edit this out.
My hint was going to be, it's a movie. We can't keep both. We have to keep one or the other. Please beep mine out. I hope you beeped mine out. Beep! Do it like last time.
Because we're doing two actors, one of whom Jenny already guessed. So write in with your guesses. We will let you know on air if you're right, but we're still going to beep it out.
Yeah.
Still trying to get the second person guessed. And then we have a new thing, which I'm not sure how I'm going to edit this, but it's either one thing or the other thing as your hint. And it's going to be very different, but it's going to be a lot of fun, I think, and I'm really excited for it. So
yes, I think it'll be fun.
And they're all going to be monthly, and we'll get into all the details and all the specifics of that when we do the new show reveal. And that episode, the new show reveal, will come out on October 15th.
Perfect. I'm excited.
So we have Miracle Run, Clip Show, special thing that we're doing live at your house.
Yep.
We're not broadcasting live, but we're doing live in person. And then the new show announcement, and then the Zeffies.
Yep.
So we've got 5 more episodes of Zack Attack, which you can find all that stuff at cageclub.me, facebook.com/cageclub, and at cageclubpod on Twitter. I'm Joey Lewandowski.
I'm Joe too.
And we'll see you next time on Zack Attack.